Welcome to the Shia Ramban Parshas Shoftim. So towards the beginning of the Sedra talks about when a person is convicted of a capital crime. In the case that the Torah describes, is the crime of worshipping Avodah Zarah, worshipping idols. And it says in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Vav, Alpi Shnayim Edim O Shlosha Edim Yumas Hameis. The person who will be convicted and executed in Beis Din is done so on the basis of two witnesses or three witnesses. Lo yumas al pi eid echad. Person should not be executed on the basis of one witness alone. Rashi over here quotes from the Gemara in Makos, Daf Hei Amud Beis, im miskayemes eidus b'shnayim lama parat l'cha b'shlosha. You know, if the Torah says that it's sufficient, al pi shnayim edim, if it's sufficient to have two witnesses in order to convict the individual, so then what's added by saying, oh, shlosha edim, it could be two or three witnesses who will serve to convict the individual. If two is sufficient, so then clearly three would work, four would work, five would work. Why is there a need to say two or three? So, again, quoting from Chazal, Rashi writes, Lahakish Shlosha Lishnayim. It's to connect, to compare the situation of three to the situation of two. Mashnayim Eidus Achas, Afshlosha Eidus Achas. Just as we view the testimony of two witnesses as one unit, so too we view the testimony of three witnesses as one unit, in the following sense, ve'ein nasim zomimim ad sheyazumu kulam. Right, and being that there's a din, we'll learn about later of edim zomimim, that if the witnesses can be are a second set of witnesses comes and says you weren't where you claim to have been when you say that you were, as you claim to have witnessed this act of Avodah Zarah taking place at such and such a place, such and such a time, we can give testimony that you were elsewhere at that particular time. So in the case of Edim Zomimin, those witnesses are punished and their testimony is thrown out. So says the Gemara, let's say that it's three witnesses who come. All three of them would have to be established as Edim Zomimin in order for those dinim to be put into place. Meaning, the idea that the Torah is bringing out over here is that two edim constitutes a unit, three edim also constitutes a unit, and you would have to disqualify the entire unit, not just two out of the unit, in order for the disqualification to take place. It's Rashi quotes. Similarly, says the Ramban, also quoting the Gemara in Makos, V'chein, Im nimsa echad mehem karav apostle, Eidus kulam b'teila, v'heim kulam neherogim u'mishalmim momen b'hazamasan. Right? Similarly, the halacha is, if you have three edim, and only one of them is found to be an invalid witness, so you might say, okay, one of them is an invalid witness, we still have two edim left. No, in other words, the invalidity, the psul of one of the edim, knocks out the entire unit. Again, the same idea, that the three are judged as a unit. And similarly, that if the three edim are judged to be edim zomimin, they're judged to be lying witnesses, so they all are going to be punished. In the case of a capital crime, they all are going to be executed. In the case of a monetary crime, they all are going to be obligated to chip in, to pay for the damages they sought to impose upon the other person. She'ikar akosuv lahakish shnayim l'shlosha l'shnayim l'chol divrem k'das rabbel seinu. The fundamental idea that our pasuk is bringing out over here, says the Ramban, in accordance with Chazal, is to say that the unit of three, for all intents and purposes, is considered to be like a unit of two. And so far, all the Ramban has done over here is to quote Rashi, to quote the Gemara and Makos, and to say that on a certain level, that is the simple understanding of the psukim. However, there are other ways to understand this psukim as well. He first brings a very, very novel interpretation from Rav Sadia Gaon, which we'll talk about a little bit. And then he suggests what he thinks might be the simple pshat in the psukim, again leaving aside what Chazal say, that the unit of three is treated like the unit of two, a simpler, more perhaps basic pshat in the pasuk, which is very, I think, thought-provoking in terms of what it has to teach us about the nature of edus, the nature of testimony. First, says the Ramban as follows, V'alderech ha-pshat, Omar Gon Rav Sadia. So the Ramban quotes Rav Sadia Gon, the Ibn Ezra quotes this Rav Sadia Gon as well, saying as follows, Shnayim Edim, O Shlosha, Mekable Edus Hashnayim. Says the Rav Sadia Gon, what the Pasuk means to say is as follows, if two Edim come to Bezdin and present their testimony, or if there are three people who receive and process that edus that was given by the two, then that can be grounds for executing the criminal. So in other words, according to Rav Sadia Gaon, al pi shnayim edim o shlosha edim, are talking about two different cases. Shnayim edim means the witnesses in the simple sense of the term. Shlosha Edim seems to refer to the Bezdin, to the court. There are three individuals, for whatever reason they're called Edim over here, who receive the testimony of the two Edim, and that's enough in order to execute the person who's been accused of the crime of Avodah Zarah, whatever it happens to be. And comments to Ramban, I really don't understand this, Rav Sadia Gaon. Ve'ein ba'kosuv kabolas edus rak edim. First of all, says the Ramban, there's nothing in the pasuk that would indicate that we're talking about the receiving of testimony, the kabolas edus. The pasuk says al pi shnayim edim o shlosha edim, two witnesses or three witnesses. Where'd you get this idea that the three individuals being referenced over here are being mekabel de edus, that they're functioning as a bezdin? It's not what it says in the pasuk. How do you understand it that way? Aval kimedume li shato hagon bedino. The Ramban, who was not afraid to mince words, says, it seems to me Rav Sadia Gaon is off here halachically as well. Ki edus dine nefashos lo sekubal, rak bifnei sanhedrin shel esrim ushlosha. Because what are we talking about over here in the pasuk? We're talking about a capital case where a person has committed a capital crime of Avodah Zarah. We know it's the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin that a capital crime can't be punished, can't be adjudicated by a Bez Din of three. A capital crime, Din Nefashos, has to be adjudicated by a Bez Din of 23. So what would it mean over here? Forget about one kasha on this Rav Sadia Gaon. As Rav Sadia Gaon says, the three Edim, the Shlosha Edim, are not really Edim, they're really Dayanim, they're really accepting Edus. So says the Ramban, how on earth do you read that into the Pasuk? It doesn't fit in at all. Beyond that, it seems to be halachically incorrect, because in order to adjudicate a case where a person is accused of a capital crime like Avodah Zarah, you would need a Bezdin of 23. So how could you have three functioning as the Bezdin, which seems to be the scenario that Rav Sadia Gaon is describing here in the Pasuk? So writes the Ramban, he doesn't think this interpretation of Rav Sadia Gaon is right at all. Now, there's a reason Rav Sadia Gaon was called Rav Sadia Gaon. He's a very, very wise man, certainly goes without saying. And as much as the Ramban is quick to say, just it doesn't make any sense in the Pasuk, clearly Rav Sadia Gaon had a way to understand the Pasuk that would first answer the question of the Ramban. How are we talking about Shlosha Edim? You know, it's not Shlosha Edim, it's Shlosha Dayanim, according to Rav Sadia Gaon. And would also answer the very obvious question that the Ramban asked against the Rav Sadia Gaon. How could it be that you're describing a scenario where three individuals are functioning as a bezdin to put to death somebody accused of a capital crime? Dine nefashos b'chav gimel. We know that you need a bezdin of 23 in order to adjudicate dine nefashos. So Rabbi Shavel over here has a long note where he talks about various attempts to resolve this position of the Rav Sadia Gaon. And he quotes an idea that he says appears both in the Pnei Yehoshua and his comments to Makos Tafei Amid Beis, where this sugya appears, Al Pi Shnayim Eidim or Shlosha Eidim, where the Mishnah and the Gemara talk about it, as well as in the Shailos and Tshuvos Shaul Umeshiv, where essentially they both say the same thing. While it's true that it's clear that in order to convict a person and condemn him to death, one would require a Bezdin of 23. There's no question on that. But perhaps the Kabbalas HaEdus, the stage in the process in which the Eidim come and give their testimony, perhaps that Kabbalas HaEdus can take place in the presence of three, and you don't need the entire Sanhedrin of 23 there in order to hear the Eidus. In a certain sense, one might describe this as the Beis Din creating a subcommittee. We have these two Eidim coming in. They're going to give their testimony. To have, you know, to get the 23 members of the Sanhedrin together to hear the testimony, to cross-examine the witnesses, it's just hard to get everybody together. You know, they didn't have Zoom back then. It wasn't so easy to get everybody, on the same Zoom call. So you know what? They say, you know, we're going to appoint a subcommittee of three. They'll go and they'll record the testimony of these witnesses. They'll cross-examine them. We trust them to get a firm handle on what the Eidim are saying. And then they'll report back to us, and then we as a body will deliberate based on that evidence, based on that testimony, and we'll decide. So the Gemar HaDin, the psak itself, the judgment, is rendered by a Beis Din Shel Chav Gimel, is rendered by a Beis Din of 23, but that doesn't mean that you can't have the Kabbalas HaEdus, the acceptance of the testimony, based on three people alone who will accept it. That, say, both the Pnei Yehoshua and the Sholom Eshev, that could be what Rav Sadia Gaon is. It's still a chiddush, it's a tremendous chiddush, but it's, you know, at least it fits into the Gemara. It's not clearly against, you know, what's an open and shut Gemara, and would suggest that you can divide the process of adjudication into various different segments. There's the acceptance of the testimony, there's the deliberation based on that testimony, and the final psak. And you don't necessarily need the Beis Din Shel Chav Gimel. You don't necessarily need a Beis Din of 23 for the entire duration of the process. The Sholom Eshev uses this idea to answer the Ramban's first kasha on the position of Rav Sadia Gaon. The pasuk talks about Shnayim Eidim or Shlosha Eidim. So why is it Shlosha Eidim? Why is it three witnesses? It's not three witnesses, it's three Dayanim. Well, according to this scenario, the three individuals, in a sense, are both Dayanim, but they're also Eidim. They're Dayanim insofar as they're adjudicating the case, but they're also Eidim insofar as they report back to the other 20 members of the Sanhedrin what testimony they heard from these two Eidim. So in other words, according to Rav Sadia Gaon, the Pasuk agrees, Al Pi Shnayim Eidim, on the basis of two witnesses who come to the Beis Din in its entirety directly, O Shlosha Eidim, or the Beis Din has the ability to make a subcommittee of three who will then report back as Eidim to the larger Beis Din and give their testimony over. In either of those scenarios, Yumas Hames, the person could be convicted and put to death. Again, it's a chiddush, it's a novel way of looking at things, but at least, you know, it answers these questions of the Ramban. The Ramban himself then goes on to suggest yet another understanding in terms of the psukim. Aval pshuto shel mikra. You want to know the very simple pshat over here, says the Ramban. Again, what Chazal say in the Gemara and Makos, that we're treating the unit of three like a unit of two. Okay, that's true halachically, but you want to know the simple pshat, it's as follows. Leimor, sheyumas hameis al pishnayim eidim kishe'en shom yoser. The pasuk means to tell us that if there are only two eidim, they suffice. You can execute somebody on the basis of two eidim. O al pishlosha im yimtzu'un shom shlosha, Yomar Hakosuf, Kasher Hugad Luchov Shomato Tidrosh Hadover Hatev Alpi Kol Ha'edim Hanim Soim Shom. Although it's sufficient to have two Edim, says the Ramban, it's desirable to have as many Edim as possible. When you find out that a certain act was committed, don't, when in your investigations to try to get to the bottom of what happened, don't just say, once you find two Edim, okay, story's over. I have two Edim, that's all we really need. Keep digging. See if there's a third aid. See if there's a fourth aid. See if there's a fifth aid. Try to find as many witnesses as possible. If we hear that there were three individuals present when the person committed his Aveira, let's go find them. Let them all come and give their testimony. If it turns out that there are 100 people who witnessed this act, let's round them all up. Let's try to get as much testimony from as many people as possible. And here I think is the key line in the Ramban, ki b'shom'enu divrei kulam yisbarer ha'emes. The more perspectives on what happened we hear, the more likely we are to come to the truth. V'imlo ha'yusham yoseh shahoch lohem ve'enam nimsoim. Of course, if you can't find all these people, b'shnayim die. It would be sufficient to have two. So here comes the Ramban. He introduces a very fascinating idea that helps with Eidus. You know, the Gemara has an expression that trei kemeya, that two Eidim is considered to be the equivalent of 100 Eidim. And, you know, that's true halachically, right? In other words, if you have two Eidim on one side of a dispute versus 100 Eidim on the other side of the dispute, you know, so we weigh them equally. But the Ramban is saying, you know, leaving aside the halachic technicalities, in terms of trying to get at what really happened, it's not entirely true that trei kemeya, that two is considered to be like 100. Two people will give you enough of a perspective on what happened that you can act on that. You know, lo yumaso p'eid echad. It's not, if you have the testimony of one person, it's not enough to execute somebody. Two people's testimony, that is enough to execute somebody. But if you have three people's testimony, that gives you an even better idea of what happened. And kol shekein, how much more so? For four, for five, for six, for seven. The more perspectives you have, the more likely you are to actually get to the emes, to the truth of what happened in any given situation. You know, leaving aside the questions of Bezdin, is, I think, a very just simple but profound idea that the Ramban is bringing out. When you want to get to the truth of anything, the more perspectives you can bring, the better off you are. Don't just stop with the perspectives that are technically necessary, but al pi shnayim edim o shlosha edim, you know, two edim suffices, but three edim is even better. That's the pashut pshat in the pasuk, you know, says the Ramban. Let's take a look at another Ramban. It's just very, very important. A little bit further in the Sedra, where the Torah describes that when you have a shayla, you go up to the Bezdin Agadol Yerushalayim, and they will instruct you how to act. And then we read in Pasuk Yud, you should act on the basis of what they tell you from that place that Hashem has chosen. You should observe everything that they instruct you. You should act on the basis of the Torah and the judgments that they instruct you. You should not deviate from what they tell you, not right and not left. So Rashi famously writes over here, what does it mean that you shouldn't deviate right or left? Right? So even if the Beis Din HaGadol tells you that what you think is right is really left, and what you think is left is really right, right? In other words, they tell you something which doesn't seem to make any sense to you whatsoever, nonetheless, you have to follow them. That's when the Beis Din HaGadol issues an understanding of a mitzvah. The inyano, that is to say, says the Ramban, afilu tachshav belibcha shehim toim. Vadavar Poshut Veinecha Kasher Ato Yodea Ben Yemincha L'Smolcha. Even if to you, you're convinced that they've made an error, and the error is so obvious to you as the difference between your right and your left, is Tasa Kimitzvasam. You have to follow what the Beis Din HaGadol paskens. Now again, we're talking about the Sanhedrin, right? We're not talking about an individual rabbi, where sometimes, you know, there's room to argue or the like. But if Sanhedrin issues a psak, although we know one can question the psak theoretically, and we know that in theory the Sanhedrin can make a mistake, the whole Masech Horios is predicated on the fact that the Sanhedrin can make a mistake. But once the Sanhedrin has paskened, you should follow them, even if you believe that they have indeed made a mistake. V'al tomar, and don't say, Eich ochal hachelev hagomer hazeh. How can I eat this item? The Beis Din tells me that it's kosher, but I'm convinced that it's not kosher. O ero ko ish hanoki hazeh. The Beis Din has said that this person has to be executed. I believe he's innocent. Don't second guess them. Avol tomar, rather you should say, Kach tziva osi ha'odon ha'mitzaveh ha'mitzvos. This commandment ultimately comes from God Himself, who told us to keep the mitzvos. She'ese b'chol mitzvosav. The commandment we have from Hashem is that we have to follow the mitzvos. K'chol asher yoruni ha'omdim lefonov b'makom asher yivchar. We follow the mitzvos as they are taught to us, as they are interpreted for us, as they are transmitted to us by those representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the place that He has chosen, i.e. the Sanhedrin, which sits in the Lishkas HaGozes, in the chamber of hewn stone, in the Beis HaMikdosh itself. V'al mashmos daitom nosan lihatora afelo yitu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah for us to observe based on the understandings and the interpretations of the Sanhedrin, even if in theory they are wrong. In other words, even if from God's perspective the Sanhedrin has made an error and they have paskened incorrectly, our mandate as Jews is to follow what the Sanhedrin says, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. In other words, when Rashi says, even if they say right is left and left is right, it means they are incorrect. You know for a fact that they're incorrect. But nonetheless, our mandate is to follow the psak of the Sanhedrin. Rezek ke'inyin Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel b'yom HaKippurim, Shecholios b'cheshbono. And he quotes the famous Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah, where Rabbi Gamliel paskened that Rosh Hashanah was on a certain day. Rabbi Yeshua disagreed. Rabbi Gamliel ultimately told Rabbi Yeshua, you have to appear before me on what you consider to be Yom Kippur, holding your staff, carrying your wallet, because even if you believe I'm incorrect, but the mandate that we have is to listen to Sanhedrin. I'm the Sanhedrin. I'm the head of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin paskin. Once the Sanhedrin paskin, so then you have the mandate to listen to the Sanhedrin, even if you believe, and even if you're correct in believing, that the Sanhedrin is incorrect. Continues the Ramban, V'hutzrach b'mitzvah zel tzarach gadol me'od. There's a tremendous need for this mitzvah, to listen to the psak of the Sanhedrin no matter what. Ki ha'Torah nitna lo b'ksav. The Torah was given to us in writing. It goes without saying that as things come up with the passage of time, not everyone is going to have a similar or identical perspective on how to practice. V'hine yirbu hamachlokos v'seyase ha-Torah kamatoros. If there isn't a central body to decide halacha on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and everyone can do whatever they want, the Torah ultimately will become like multiple Torahs. V'chasach lonu akosuv hadin. So therefore the Torah decisively states the halacha. Shenishma lebez din agadah ha'omei lefnei Hashem b'makom asher yivchar. V'chol ma'ashi yomilon b'feirush ha'Torah. That we have the obligation to listen to the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin from the Beis HaMikdash, insofar as any interpretation of Torah is concerned, bein shekiblu perusho eid mipied Moshe mipiakvura, whether their interpretation is based on an unbroken transmission from Moshe Rabbeinu, o sheyomru kein lefi mashmos haTorah kavanasa, whether this is their understanding, their interpretation of what the Torah means, ki aladas shelohem hu nosein lohem haTorah. because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, again, based that we should follow it based on the interpretation of the Chachamim, which means the Sanhedrin. Afilu yia beinecha kemachlif hayomin b'smol. Even if, as far as you're concerned, it looks like they're making a terrible error, they're substituting right for left, the kol shekein, yesh lecha lachshov shehem omrim al yomin shehu yomin, but really, you should assume, says the Ramban, this is also an important point, you should assume that when they say something is right, you know, right as opposed to left, it actually is right as opposed to left. In other words, we're obligated to follow them even if they make an error. But we're also obligated to assume that they probably didn't make an error. Why? And here he brings a very important point. Ki ruach Hashem al mishorsei mikdosho, the Spirit of God rests on those who serve in His holy place, which means not only the Kohanim, but it means the Sanhedrin. That's why the Sanhedrin is located in the Beis HaMikdash and the Lishkas HaGozis, because they are special recipients of the Ashruas HaShchino from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo yazov es chasidov le'olom nishmeru min atos min ha'mechsho. And God will protect those individuals, the members of the Sanhedrin, from mistakes and from errors. Obviously, that's not true 100% of the time. That's why we have a Masechta Horios. Occasionally, the Beis Din HaGadol will make mistakes and, you know, tell people to do things which are objectively wrong. But that's not the default position. Most of the time, the overwhelming majority of the time, we should assume that the Sanhedrin not only has to be listened to, but that they're right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides the Einei Ho'eda, the great Rabbonim, who are the members of the Sanhedrin, to make sure that they're not going to err. So we have to assume that that's going to be the case, that they're not going to err. That's afilo al yomin shu smol ve al smol shu yomin. If you think that what they say is right is left and vice versa, says the Ramban, you're probably mistaken. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, in all likelihood, moved the member of the Sanhedrin to make a correct decision, even though it doesn't appear to be correct to you. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer.